So what would you do if you could retire today and do anything you wanted? You ever thought about that? If you could retire today and money was no object, you never had to work again, what would you do? How would you spend your time? I know for Rebecca and I, we would probably buy a big RV and set out to go tour a whole bunch of the national parks because we love being able to camp and experience the great outdoors, and there's far too little time for that in our lives right now. But after a while, I'm sure we would settle down again and find ourselves connected to some church because we love the church, we love God's people, and we want people to understand God's grace and His love for them. So maybe I'd be like a Pastor Ron, preaching and teaching far after I've officially retired. Maybe I'd be more like a wreck, serving in 100 different ways without ever having to be up front. But regardless, we would be serving in some way, because even if we didn't have to serve, I would want to serve so that other people would hear about God's love for them. Well, today in our gospel reading, we encounter the parable of the talents. Parable of the Talents is a parable about stewardship. It's this famous parable about the master who goes away and entrusts talents to his servants, and he expects them to use those talents when they come back. Well, in the parable, the master is God, the servants are us, the talents are all the various gifts that God gives and entrusts into our care. And there's quite a number of different lessons for us to learn as we look at this parable. First is this, is that a talent is any gift that God gives to us. Now, originally, a talent was a measure of money. It was a weight of either silver or gold. But as that word talent began translated from Greek into Latin and then into English, largely on the basis of this parable, the word talent went from a measure of money to something that measures any kind of gift or skill that we have. So we say that somebody is talented at math, they're talented at sports, they're talented at music or at sales or whatever it may be. But that sense of the word talent, of a gift or a skill, comes out of this parable. And all of those talents are gifts that God has given to us and placed into our care. Second lesson is that God gives generously. A talent of silver was worth 6,000 denarii, which is about a day's wage. So if you do some computation, that's probably about $500,000 in today's amount of money. That's a silver talent. A gold talent was worth 30 times that. So even the servant who's only given one talent is given an incredible amount of money to be stewarded over and to watch over. God gives generously. And yes, with our sinful, selfish hearts, we always want more and more and more, but God gives generous gifts. Third is this, God gives different gifts. To the one servant, he gives 5 talents, the other 2, to another just 1. No explanation of why one is more talented than the other, but the master chooses to give different gifts, and God in his wisdom chooses to give different gifts to us. And we're so prone in our way of thinking to look at others and say, oh, I wish I had the gifts that so-and-so, if only I was talented like him in being able to do that. Or we begin to think, oh, well, look at me, at least I'm better than that person, and look what I can do and they can't do. We think about all the things it's all about us instead of about the master who has given those gifts into our care. I mean, don't measure your life against what somebody else has and can do or can't do. Think about it this way. If the servant who has 2 talents, if he quadruples his money instead of just doubling it, he still produces less than the guy who has 5 talents and only doubles it. So don't measure your life in terms of the external rewards and successes that you see. Just be a faithful steward of what God has placed into your care. If you're a 5-talent kind of a guy, then be happy with those 5 talents and serve God to his glory with that. And if you're a 2-talent guy, be happy with that and serve God with those. Just do the best you can with what God has entrusted to you and give glory to God. That leads to the next point. These gifts are entrusted to us. These gifts, these talents are given to us by God to use and to enjoy, but they're meant for us to use them to God's glory. The master gives talents to his servants, 5, 2, and 1. Then he goes off on a journey for a time, but then he comes back to settle the accounts. And to the one with the 5, produced 5 more, he praises him. For the one who's 2, he praises him. The one with 1 talent who did nothing, then the master says, take the talent away from the servant and throw him out in the outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a little uncomfortable to hear, isn't it? As we get closer and closer to the end of the church year, we begin to reflect a little bit more on the second coming of Jesus. And for those of us who are Christians who believe in Jesus, we look forward to that day with confidence, with hope, because we know Jesus has died on the cross for us. And yet there is this note of how God will come and settle accounts and ask us, what have you done with the talents that he entrusted into our care? That's a little bit uncomfortable for us to hear. But here's the main point. And confirmation students, if you've been filling out those sermon sheets, you can erase everything else you've already written because I'm just now getting to the main point, okay? Here's the main point. Stewardship is about a relationship, not about results. It's about a relationship, not about results. And you can take a quick look at this parable and begin to think that it's all about the results that you produce to show to God when he comes back. But if you look at the rest of Scripture, you know that that's not what our faith is about, which should be a clue to us that it's time to take a little bit of a deeper look at this parable to understand it more completely. The first 2 servants go out and they use the talents that the master has entrusted into his care. And the master comes back, he praises them. Well done, good and faithful servants. And then he says, enter into the joy of your master. It's about the relationship. They trusted, they loved, they respected the master. They did the best with what they had. And they're praised by the master. They enter into his joy. But then note the third servant. See, for him, it's also about the relationship. But notice how he relates to the master. I knew you were a hard man. You reap where you didn't sow. You gather where you didn't plant. He sees his master as a hard man, as a crook, instead of someone to be trusted and respected. So the master asks, well, why didn't you at least then give my money to the banker so that I can have it back with interest when I return home? I mean, the first 2 have returned 100% on the investment the master gave to them. The third servant, if he invests with the bankers, he's going to get what? Today's rate, 2%, 1%? The master would have been happy with that. It's not about the rate of return. It's about the relationship. The first 2 respect the master, want to serve the master, and they're praised for that. The third servant doesn't like the master, doesn't trust the master, doesn't want to serve the master. And so he hides it. And because he refuses to use the things that the master has entrusted to them, because he doesn't love and trust the master, then he's sent away. And this is pushing the parable a little bit, but you can almost imagine if one of those first two servants used the master's talents and lost everything, the master still would have been pleased with them because they tried. Because it's not about the result, it's about the relationship that the master has with the servants, that the servants have with the master. You see, our God is a good and a loving God. He is a generous God who graciously places those things into our hands more than we could ever need. He loves us, and he cares for us, and he wants a relationship of trust and love with us. And when we have made a mess of the things that he's entrusted to us, he didn't come with fire and brimstone and judgment and damnation. He sent his son into the world to take on flesh and to live among us, to take our sin, to take our mistakes, to take our debt and our lack of results upon himself. And he went to the cross to die for us, to restore that relationship to us. In Jesus Christ, God has done everything that is necessary for us to come back into a right relationship with him. So the question is, what kind of a relationship do you have with God? You don't need to accomplish anything in order to be in a right relationship with God. All he asks is that we are in a relationship of trust with him. That's the kind of relationship we have with our loving master. Which brings us back to that first question. What do you want to do? If you could retire today and do anything you want, what would you do? How would you spend your life? You don't have to do anything to earn your way into God's grace. So what do you want to do? How do you want to live your life? Here's what our generous God wants. He's entrusted us with all of these talents. What he wants for us is to serve the Lord in joy. Not because we have to, not because we see God as this harsh taskmaster who's going to judge us and condemn us if we don't, but because we love him. He wants us to serve the Lord in joy. Now, most of us are still going to have to go to a job and work to earn money, at least in this human life, to pay for things, right? But we can go into that job as a burden and a toilsome and an obligation that we have to and suffering and miserable, or we can go into that job working at it as if we're not working for our human boss, but we're working for the Lord. We can go into that job striving and grasping and trying to get ahead in this life. Or we can go into that job knowing that God's going to take care of us and having our head up looking around for the ways that we can be a blessing to others. How are you going to spend your life? How do you want to serve the Lord? Do you want to live a generous life towards God and a generous life towards others in response to him? We want, as Christians who trust this master, to use our time and our talents and our treasure to serve him and to serve others. We want to invest in others so that they too can come to see God's kingdom, so that they can understand the love that God has for them. You can do whatever you want. What do you want to do? Serve the Lord in joy. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Please stand.